I am going to continue on today in a message that we started about 4 weeks ago now, titled Wisdom Produces Faith, Knowledge Produces Fear. And what I hope you're getting out of this is to understand that the knowledge, the wisdom of God is different than man's knowledge. Man had to create a rocket. Okay, are you hearing me? We had to create rocket engines in order to break the hold of gravity. God just took Jesus up. God knew something more than we did. And you know what I find amazing? It still baffles my mind that today, to this day, we are still building rockets and they're still blowing up. Jesus didn't blow up. So the law that God operates in is supreme to the law of man. Okay? There's so much that we don't understand, and God wants us to. He wants us to see the truth. He wants us to operate in the truth. But we've got to start showing that we're faithful in all of it. As I was studying for this, I came across something that, I mean, I just sat there. I was like, hang on, Holy Spirit, for a second. My mind just went. I've read the scripture. I've read the New Testament many times, especially the Gospels. I've read the whole Bible, and I don't do it every year. You want to do it every year? Knock yourself out. Ain't nothing wrong with it, but neither is not anything wrong with not doing it. But I do read the Bible, and when I came across this particular scripture, like I said, this one we're going to get to in a little bit, it just kind of, whoa. I said, God, I need some clarification here. I need your guidance. And God did. I believe God showed me exactly what it was about. But we're going to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. We're not going to be using the overhead today. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 is where we'll start. Now remember, we've been over this scripture for the last 3 weeks. Verse 17, this is wisdom speaking. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Okay, first off, let's get it straight. He is indeed speaking monetary gain. Okay? Nowhere have I seen that God would choose to have you poor. Nowhere. It's not in the Bible. The message that being poor is closer to godliness, hogwash. I know more people that are poor that are so prideful in their poverty, they love being in poverty. And guess what else when you're in poverty? You can't help anybody else. You can't do anything for anybody else. And then eventually, we create a welfare state where they don't want to do anything for anybody else. Now, so wisdom says, I cause those who love me to inherit wealth. But there's some things we need to understand. First off, wisdom says, my product, the produce of loving me, is greater than fine gold. It's greater than the choicest of silvers. It's greater than anything that we know of value. And wisdom says, I traverse. In other words, I walk in the way of righteousness and in the paths of justice. So what you need to understand is anytime you're actually operating in God's wisdom on doing something, you're operating in justice and in righteousness. So many people look at things, well, that's just not right. That person, you know, that person took advantage of a situation. They bought this property or they bought that, and then they turned around and sold it. Yeah, that's called commerce. Welcome to the reality of life, people. Just because you were a lazy servant and didn't want to do what was supposed to be done, what you needed to do to make some money, does not make them an unrighteous person. Now, if you stole it, that's another deal. But if you're going to inherit wisdom or inherit wealth through wisdom, because God says that when I prosper you, I add no sorrow to it. So you don't have to worry about, well, did I, by the way, it's good to see you back, Miss Cheryl. She's been caring for her dad. And, but anyhow, there are people, they've gotten riches wrongly, and guess what? Things just don't ever work, really work. There's no peace. Oh, yeah, they've got money. So what? They build a name up for themselves. So what? The richest men in America in the early 1900s, Carnegie, and my brain just went blank, Rockefeller, and those, they amassed wealth that blows Bill Gates away today. Do you understand how wealthy these men were? How powerful these men were? But in the end, what they realized is none of it mattered. None of it really mattered. And so they began building things and giving things away. That's why we have Rockefeller Center. That's why we have libraries. That's why we have a lot of this stuff. It's because they began to realize, I got all this wealth, so what? What did it get me? I ruined my name in the process, and I'm going to die. So they began seeing who could give away the most money. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? You work all your life to amass this money, and you're greedy and you're stingy, and then all of a sudden you realize death is around the corner. I can't take it with me. And I got to get one leg up on Rockefeller. So I'm going to start giving money away. I'm going to start building things. I'm going to start doing things. And Jesse, would you shut the overhead off? Wherever he went. Yeah, he's right there. But to love wisdom means to have an affection. We have got to have an affection towards the things of God greater than the things of the earth, greater than our spouses or our children. We've got to have that kind. That's exactly what the word means, is affection. And if you do not have that kind of love, your heart palpitates because you think about it. It skips a beat. Your hands get a little clammy. You start sweating. You get tongue-tied. Your stomach wants to crawl out your nose. You know what I'm talking about. When you feel like that towards the things of God, towards wisdom, that's when you know you love God. That's when you know you love wisdom. If you can take it or leave it, really? You don't love God. You're still stuck on yourself. You know, the Bible still talks about, you know, and we can look all kinds of things, but in the end, Jesus did say that I'll be judging, and I'll say, there'll be those that come up to me and say, Lord, look at how good we were. We ran revivals. We cast out demons. We healed the sick. We did all this. And he says, I don't know you. They loved the things. See, they're no different than Simon the sorcerer. They loved the things, the power, the control, the trickery. That's why many of them, when they realized that God wasn't actually in their little deceit, started paying people to be healed. I remember some of those services back in the late 70s. So when my parents got saved, and that was the attraction to them, and people getting, if you're moved by signs and wonders, I'm sorry, you will be deceived. You're no different than Rocky and Bullwinkle. Just remember, Bullwinkle never pulled a rabbit out of his hat. It was always something else. He never did what was supposed to be done. So the products of wisdom are considered better than gold and silver, and its ways are just and right in God's sight. They will always be right. They will always be just. Well, Pastor, you know, somebody has to lose. You know what? Oh, I said God's ways are just. Now, if you want to keep the bleeding heart theory open, we should all just share in it. Well, welcome to communism. And by the way, we don't all ever get to share in it. Even in communism, the mafia still was big. They still ruled. And the people who were still up in the elite classes lived high on the hog, while your average, everyday Joe, that would be us, starved. They stood in line for food, and they still do. Why? Because somebody still has it in there. The church that I went and preached to in Ukraine a couple years back, the man who hosted me after service for dinner was a communist. They told me when I went in and said, just so you know, this man does not like free enterprise. He loved the communist regime. Why? Because he had a good job. Now, the only thing I found hilarious was he wanted a Harley Davidson. It's like, well, why don't you go buy your piece of junk Russian motorcycles? You want a Harley, huh? And it's American made, free enterprise. But you see, when we are not willing to do what it takes, what we have, Jesus taught us this in the parable of the talents. Remember, there's three men. They were each given money in accordance to their abilities. The master knew their talents, their skills. He didn't give them anything above what they were able to handle. And the last servant, he only got one little talent. We'll call it $1,000. To invest, to do something with. Now, to be honest with you, $1,000 isn't going to do a whole lot, is it? Those of you that put money in CDs, what are you going to get on $1,000? Like 0.2%? It's real low. You got to put a whole bunch of money in, even in a CD, to get money back. So $1,000, the guy's like, well, you know what? I'm not even going to risk anything. I'm going to go bury it and I'm going to hide it. And the master said, you wicked servant, you should have at least put it in the bank so I could have earned a little bit of interest, even that 0.2%. But being buried in the ground, I didn't get a thing. And he said, what you have will be taken from you. Why? Because he chose not wisdom. Now, wisdom doesn't say, well, you know, you go over here and you cause the famine. You cause the problem. That's not wisdom, that's deceit and trickery. Wisdom is using what God shows you, how God shows you. I remember teaching about when Jesus was talking about a man who finds a treasure in a field. Remember that parable? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is working in somebody else's field, finds a treasure. While he's plowing, and he says, you know what? We're going to cover this back up. They've been too lazy to come in and look for anything. I'm going to go sell everything I have, and I'm going to go to my boss, and I'm going to buy this field. By the way, he related that to the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of earth. Now, just so you know, when you have great wealth and you have God's wisdom and you are humble, see, there's a problem with people when they get a lot of money. They get the I don't stink stuff going on, right? You know what I'm talking about? My stuff don't stink. Tidy Tim says different. You will fall. Why? Because you're serving Mammon. I heard Doc Barclay talk about this one time. He said, Mammon is the god of this world. Okay? It relates when we're going to actually look at this scripture here in a minute. You cannot serve two masters, for you will love one or you will be loyal to one, and you will despise or hate the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon or riches, okay? But Mammon is the god of this world. It is everything that is natural in this world that makes us strive for more. More power. More this, more that. Do you gain more power with money? Let's be real. Carnegie and Rockefeller and Vanderbilt, they all did. The wealthier they got, the louder their voice and the more control they had. And they didn't always do everything that was in the best interest of the public. So it takes somebody who's tuned into God's heart, listening to God, in order to make things happen. But let me ask you a question here. Now, I believe it was Carnegie. I believe Carnegie was the one who was a Baptist. If I remember, I can't remember. Yeah, I'm thinking it was, no, it wasn't Carnegie, it was Rockefeller. Rockefeller was a Baptist. He was staunch. Didn't drink, didn't do any of that stuff. But he did a lot of underhanded deeds. Why do you think God chose to allow those three men in particular? Those three men forged what this country is today. We were not world leaders in 1900. Our military was not respected around the world. When I say respected, I mean feared, and today we're not feared. God used those three men, and they used trickery, they used deceit, they lied, they manipulated, they did everything they could to build those industries. And they kept continuing to build and build and build and amass what in today's term is billions and billions of dollars. The Johnstown flood is attributed, I believe, to Carnegie, because he did not want to spend the money to fix the dam. As I understand it, the dam was probably the dam that was holding back all the water at that lake was no wider than the one we have down here at Mount Gilead State Park. It was just wide enough at the top that you could drive a buggy across it. And the buggy driver is the one that said, hey, the ground's giving way. I don't want to drive across here anymore because it was the road. Well, a good example would be Dogwood Valley. That little body of water has got that little dam. It's fine for that little dam, but what was it was holding back was too huge. Didn't want to spend the money, so thousands of people lost their lives. What was it, thousands? Well, I don't remember. History? Do you remember? It was a lot of people, okay? After I said thousands, I started thinking, maybe it wasn't quite thousands. Hundreds, yes. I will always be safe with that. But why did God allow those men to do this? Let me tell you why I think it is. It's because the church, God's own elect, God's people, refused to close in with him. And they said, ooh, money is bad. No, money in and of itself is an inanimate object. Money can do good. Money can do bad. I can take this chair and I can do good with it. I can set you down in it and wash your feet. I can offer you a place to sit if you're tired. Or I could throw it at your head. It's an inanimate object. So who's evil? Me. And so God started allowing those men, even though they did a lot of evil things, you got to understand, this country would not have had the automobile industry like it did. We would not have gotten from things built. The number of homes that were built in that time, you need to understand, flourished. They just popped up everywhere. Because we were now able to get materials from one side of the country to the other and in various parts because of the railroad system. Oil. Well, we could sit here and say, well, oil is bad. Oil is bad. Listen, you're sitting on petroleum. That chair is made out of petroleum byproducts. The steel, well, you can thank Rockefeller. What about it? God's people didn't want to use wisdom. They just decided to shun everything and hide ourselves away from what God had. Like I said, I'm about to show you a scripture. When I read it, it was 1988 all over again when I hit myself with a baseball bat. And it did hurt. I ain't going to lie. But before we go there, let's turn to Genesis chapter 26. I'm going to keep you on the edge of your seat about what scripture I'm going to read to you. Most of the time, the reason God's people do not prosper is because they don't want to be obedient. They don't want to listen. In Genesis chapter 26, we read of Isaac and Abimelech. He was a king of the Philistines. And there was a famine where Isaac was living at the time. Now you got to remember, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, none of them had a land yet. It was Abraham's job to walk the wilderness area where God promised him. He said, wherever you walk, I will give to your children. We need to understand something, folks. God made Abraham a promise before he stepped out. In my personal opinion, when Abraham left Iraq, when he started walking, that's when the trip started. The odometer hit with zero, and from that point on, everywhere he went would belong and rightfully belongs to his descendants, all the way down to Egypt. So they did not have a land of their own. So now there's a famine where Isaac is dwelling. And God said, I want you to leave. And I want you to go someplace. I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you someplace. Takes him to the land of the Philistines, which is ironic because of the Philistines were the one band of people that Israel just said, you know what, we're going to try to make peace with you. Just leave us alone. And they never did. And to this day, they are still fighting the PLO. It shouldn't be the Palestinian Liberation Organization. It should be the Philistine Liberation Organization because that's who they are. The Palestinians are the Philistines. But go over to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herd and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. You know what he did? You know what magical thing he did? He obeyed God. And in God's wisdom, God said, I want you to plant. Now you got to understand, this is a stranger who comes into a land that is not his. Why were there vacant fields? Because there was a famine. When there's a famine, you can ask our farmers, it's probably not a wise thing to go buy all the seed and put it in the ground, is it? You're going to hold off until we get some rain. But God told Isaac to sow. Now, can you imagine Isaac standing out here looking, he's like, God, that's a dust bowl. He said, I told you to sow. Get it plowed and get it planted. So Isaac did it. And that one year, for every seed he put in the ground, he got 100 back. Pretty good returns in a drought or a famine. What did he operate in? Did he operate in conventional wisdom? No, he operated in God's wisdom because he loved God. If you're wanting to know how to love wisdom, you got to love wisdom's possessor. Remember, wisdom said, God possessed me in the beginning. He owned me from the word go. And so he sowed and he reaped in a time when everybody else said, not doing anything. Today, people will tell you what to do, what not to do. You know, I know some of you got money with accountants and financial people, and they'll tell you what not to invest in. You know, some of you, I forget who it was, somebody else was telling me that 401k just took a big hit, which anybody who's got money in that, when the market goes down, it takes a hit, doesn't it? But I challenge you to listen to God on it. Where do I sow, Lord? Where do I invest? And watch what God will do in your life. God will not let you fall on your face if you're seeking His ways. His ways are right. His ways are just. I think that it's a little concerning to me when they say gas prices are going to go up. Really? Why are gas prices going to go up? Because somebody said it. Even though crude didn't. What is crude running right now? Bob, do you know? $46 a barrel. Do you know? Remember when it hit $100 a barrel? Gas just hit $2. We're at $46. We're still paying more than what we were paying when it was $100 a barrel. Why? Because somebody said. But if you will listen to God, if you will trust God in all this, He will bless you. I don't envy you if you had invested in crude, because you lost a lot of money. Because it was over $100 a barrel not too long ago. But God will tell you what to invest. And tomorrow, I mean, I don't know. He may say, invest in crude. You buy crude oil, in a month it doubles. You just doubled your money. Well, Pastor, that means that my friends are going to start paying higher gas prices. I'm going to do it. I don't want to invest in it. Listen, Einstein, it's going to do it anyhow. You're going to pay the higher price anyhow. Why not make some money on it? Like I said, God's wisdom. You're not getting over on your brother and sister in the Lord. It's warm up here. You're not hurting anybody. You're not controlling the gas price. So if God tells you to sow someplace, and by the way, His kingdom is always a good place to sow. And this is where I was going a couple weeks ago. I started talking about, I think I did hit a lot on it pretty good, but I'm going to hit on it again. Sowing into the kingdom of God. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is Jesus's. They don't all belong to Him. They come with a message to deceive. They do not come with an innocent heart. Years ago, I mean, we all remember the PTL scandal. Most of us, I look around here, okay, there's some of you who weren't even alive. A lot of us remember the PTL club scandal and how countless people were duped out of their life savings for an amusement park, for a Christian-themed amusement park. When the truth was revealed, only a little bit of that money was going into the amusement park. The rest of it was going into an extremely lavish lifestyle. Now, why did I say all that? Had all those people that lost all their life savings, all those little old widows who were all, praise you, Jesus, hallelujah, I'm going to get rich. I'm going to give all my money. Had they been listening to the Holy Spirit, he was probably standing there on the bridge of their nose saying, listen to me, don't do it. But no, we get so caught up in a pie-in-the-sky message about blessing. There's one particular radio station I turn off anytime they're doing their fund drives now. I haven't listened to it for a while just because of this. If you don't have the money, call us anyhow. Make a pledge. God will provide it. Now, wait a second. I don't see that in my Bible. My Bible says, let my words be yes and no. Brother, I'm going to give you $10 a month for your radio station. Now, I don't have it, but God's going to provide it. What does that really make me? Oh, a man of faith. No, it makes me a liar. Now, if God told me without you coercing me to give that $10 a month to that radio station, because the main listening radius of this station is college age and high school kids, and $10 a month sometimes is a lot for them. If God told me as that child, as that student, to give that money, God will bless me. Are you hearing me? But if somebody has to coerce you into giving, it's not God. You need to listen. That's why the Bible says we need to be wise as serpents. The serpent picked up on everything, and he was able to twist everything that Eve said. That's not saying we need to be twisters and perverters of the word. It means we need to be keen. We need to be sharp on what the Bible says and how to operate freely in the things of God. Is there blessing in God? Yes, there is. But it does not come with sorrow. It does not come with coercion. It does not come with mafia tactics. I've told Angela, I said, I'm done with the partnership thing. If I give money to one ministry, suddenly I'm a partner and they expect me to give money all the time. God told me to sow a seed into that ministry, so I sowed it. And if God tells you to give to a ministry regularly and to partner with it, you do that. But you need to understand, you are taking on an obligation. You are now taking on an oath. That you had better fulfill and you'd better see through. I said, I'm done. I'm done doing that. This ministry is one I give to all the time. I give my tithes and give offering. But the other ones, I do it when God tells me to do it. And God has been leading and putting on my heart more and more lately. Because I have need. We all have need, right? Say, God, I have a need. He said, sow a seed. So I began sowing more seed. And I told Angela, I said, it's funny how we get so comfortable in things. We forget the basics. I'm like, duh. You're not going to give a harvest if you don't have seed in the ground. But don't give your life away, your life savings away to a Christian-themed amusement park. Christians don't need any more entertainment. I can go to Cedar Point. I can go to Kings Island. I mean, for crying out loud, Kings Island's got Spirit Week or whatever it is. Spirit Song. And I don't like amusement parks anyhow. I don't like vomiting. All right. We'll go to Luke chapter 16. The premise of this entire, most of this chapter here, is the parable of the unjust steward. Let me explain it to you a little bit. Jesus is given a parable of a man who has a steward who's over top of all of his dealings. And he gets word through the other servants that this steward isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing. Maybe he's skimming a little bit off the top. Maybe he's doing some things wrong. And the servant gets called to the master one day. And according to this, it sounds like they were a little distance apart because he had some time to do something. Servant automatically begins to think, hey, I'm too old to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. I have got to think of a way to make sure that I don't end up manual labor. He has worked his entire life as a white-collar worker, and now he's about to be thrown down into the blue-collar realm. He's like, I don't want to do that. So what he does is he calls up all of his master's debtors. The one owed him flour, 50 units of flour, or 100 units of flour. And he said, mark that down to 50 and pay it. Another, he said, what do you owe? He said, I owe 100 measures of wheat. And he said, mark that down to 80. In his mind, he's thinking, I need to start making friends. And when it came to the, when he came before the master said, commended him because that was very shrewd on his behalf. He wasn't saying, good boy, you took, let's see, what, 80 measures of material from me. He was saying, that was shrewd. That was slick on your behalf. You knew I was about to fire you. And you made a bid. So this is where I began, the smoke began to pour from my ears. Let's go halfway down in verse 8. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. These are words in red. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? One, Jesus is not saying what this guy did was right. Okay? He said it was shrewd. And then he said, and he's not telling us to go out and do things unscrupulous in business. Okay? When he's talking about unrighteous mammon, you need to understand, God's ways are all righteous. Every way in the world is unrighteous. Okay? It is black and white. God, us. The gray area we try to walk in is the area that we try to bring our ways and God's ways and mix them. But we have to operate in two worlds, basically. We have to do what is right down here. We have to do, definitely you have to do what is right in God's ways. His ways, you can't, you don't have the option. If you go wrong, you're done. But he said in this way, if you are not faithful with your unrighteous mammon, the possessions you have, and here's what I took away from it. If I have been given possessions and I have been given things, I've been blessed, it is my responsibility. He said, because in the day that you fail, you will have friends. It is my responsibility to share them, to use what I have to make allies. so that when the government comes and they take whatever belongs to me because I'm a Christian and I refuse to bow to the idol of Obama or any other god. Yes, I said that. The more we walk in this world, the more we see how evil things are actually getting. When they come and take it, if I have spent all my time, well, let me put it this way. If all I ever do is spend all my time with the godly people, helping them and doing things for them, and you lose all your stuff, we all in the same canoe, and you know what river we're on. But those who do not call upon the name of God, let's say Rob's a heathen. I can only do that to my friends. Say Rob's a heathen neighbor, doesn't know God. If I loan him something, if I share what I have, hey, Rob, you know, I got all these apples. Come up and have what you want. Or, hey, you know, I got this. He comes up to borrow a saw or a tool. I loan it to him. When they take everything that belongs to me, he'll remember he was kind to me. He loaned me stuff. He was nice to me. I'm going to take him in. I'm going to help him. That's what Jesus just shared. And he said that that was shrewd, that it was smart. And then he turned around and said something that really kind of floored me. He said, the sons of this generation are more shrewd than the sons of light. Do you know why most Christians lose their money? They don't listen to God. They listen to every snake oil salesman coming and going. I've got a Christian investment for you. Please keep your Christian investment far away from me. I heard Pastor Dosek say this one time. He said, listen, if I ever need a lawyer, you know, say I did something stupid, I ever need a lawyer, I'm not hiring a Christian. I want somebody who swings with their fist. I don't want Mr. Do-Right getting up there, well, you know, I can't say. I want you to dig up every bad thing you can on that person. They're falsely accusing me. Go for their jugular. But no. See, we got it in our mind that, well, that would be ungodly. Really? I must suffer. Listen. Last time I checked, he took all that. There's certain things we will suffer. But not everything are we suffering for our faith. I didn't go out and kill Christians with stones. Paul did. Paul sowed some really bad seed in the beginning. But in these days and ages, we've got to be smarter. We can't just be bouncing around in a boat. Oh, this is the will of God. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe this idea is the will of God. And then when that goes south on us, this idea is the will of God. No, one, work a job. That is the will of God. You don't work, you don't deserve to eat. That's the Bible. That is Scripture. You don't deserve to eat. Nowhere was this welfare system set up under godly pretenses. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a little something I learned. Back when they set up the welfare system in Morrow County, the person who was in charge of signing people up, the very first person, was paid per number of people she got signed up. You want to know why Morrow County was the poorest county for a long time? If you're going to pay me for every poor person I put on welfare, I'm going to truck people in from West Virginia and Kentucky from the coal mines. My grandpa was a coal miner and he struggled all of his life. I'm going to start bringing those people who lost their jobs. I'm going to bring them to the county. I'm getting paid. I'm making more money. That's shrewd on their behalf. Crooked and I'll get out, but made them some money. But that way is not God's way. God's way is you work. Remember the parable of the rich young ruler, and he's like, oh man, I've done good for myself. I got enough money in the bank, last me a long time. I'll be dead before I ever spend it all. I'm done. And God said, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. Why? Because the man was a big businessman and he provided a job for other people. Hello, if you got the desire to be a big businessman, you're going to have to deal with people. It is God's will. Not everybody couldn't be self-employed. Has anybody figured that stuff out? Anybody ever tried it? Not everybody's cut out for it. Because, by the way, you pay your own taxes when you're self-employed. You're griping about, oh, that's, look at FICA. Look what they took from me. Yeah, they only took 7% from you. When you're self-employed, you pay the whole bill. 15.3%. You pay for your own insurance. You pay for your own workman's comp. You pay for all of that yourself. Then you tell me, and you complain to me why the guy who come to fix your roof is charging you $30 an hour. Because he's making $8. Oh, by the way, and then we want to pay $15 an hour to flip hamburgers. It's an entry job, folks. I'm sorry. Entry level. Let's get with it. Let's quit looking at it. Oh, it's only fair. They can't make a living. You're not supposed to make a living flipping burgers. Come on. I know some of you in there have had that job. If you do stay for a while, I know Miss Vicky was a manager. She kept moving on. Became a manager. They don't get paid like that. It's meant for people, part-timers, high school students. That's what it was geared for. But wisdom got shot out the cannon that day. Well, we need to be fair to everybody. You can't be fair to everybody. If you're not going to work, I'm sorry. You got to work. Well, I can't. Then you better figure out why you can't and fix it. And learn to trust God. And listen to God. I know that sounds hard and that sounds cruel. But you know what? Everybody wants to, here's what the hilarious part is. As soon as a hard time hits, money, people start losing their jobs, whatever. You know where people go? They don't go, they call. They call churches. We aren't sitting on thousands and thousands of dollars that we just have no idea what to do with. We help spread the gospel. And by the way, there's a certain amount it takes to keep these places up. People don't want to go to church. I'm too busy to go to church. And yet you want God's money. You want what people have sown into the kingdom. And don't get me wrong, we have helped people. I pray about before. I'll tell you one thing I don't do. I don't pay people's mortgage payments. Sell it if you can't pay it. Let's just be real. Because I can pay it once. Who's going to pay it the next time? The church down the street? And then the church down the street? And 9 times out of 10, folks, listen to me. My boyfriend and I can't make our payment. And you're calling me? First off, Get married if you're going to shack up. Otherwise, lose my phone number. But the sad part is, a lot of it happens in the church. Most of it is because we don't want to listen to God. The Bible says that there's a man who holds back more than is necessary, and it leads to poverty. When God tells you to sow, listen, I've shared before that God told us to sow a seed. And I don't tell you this so that you get the inkling that pastor's trying to coerce you. No. If that's what you think, just stick your fingers in your ear and hum. But God told us to take an oath. Take a pledge for $1,000 to give to our pastor. And we did that. I need you to understand something, folks. I made gross pay was $700. And then they took $300 of that back. So I might have got $600 a month for the other bills. Okay? Food, phone, gas, insurance, car payment. Thank God it was base housing because the electric was paid for, so heating was paid for, water was paid for. And I enjoyed a nice warm house in the winter and a nice cool house in the summer. But that's all we had. We did not have $1,000 sitting in a savings account. And we took that pledge because God told me to. Not because somebody was up there twisting my arms. I had waited until the very last person. And when I saw him going up, I was like, yeah, he can go up. All right, God, that means it wasn't your will. He gets up there and the preacher says, you're not the one. Go sit down. What are you talking about? He's not the one. He's got the money. I crawled out of the sound booth, walked up here, and Angela's like, oh, okay. She knew what we had. I ended up selling a car, and we cashed in some savings bonds early to come up with it. But we did it, and God blessed us. God began opening doors, but you want to know something that had to happen? I had to work. It was opportunities. I didn't sit out there and people just came. And I knew some very wealthy people there. One man I knew, his father gave him $50,000 a year at Christmas time. That was his Christmas present. He was a very wealthy man. One of the men in the church said they went, this guy had invited them out to go deep sea fishing. And he gets out there to the dock. And he said, this boat is huge. It's like 75 feet long. And they pull up to the gas pump. If you've ever been to a gas pump at a dock, it's really expensive. And this guy said, I was just starting my family, you know, right out of college. My wife and I, we're paying the college bills off. We got a kid. We're barely making it. And he asked Mike, he says, I've only got a little bit of money. Do you think your dad's expecting me to chip in? And Mike laughed. And he went and told his dad. That was hilarious. And he said, son, I can afford the boat. I think I can afford the gas that goes in it. But you see, God took that man and stretched him a little bit further and kept going and kept going. Same thing he did with us. He taught us to trust him and to sow when he said to sow. I was sitting in a meeting one time, and it was kind of an interesting, informative meeting. I would never call myself an evangelist going around teaching about Islam, but the man said, all right, now it's offering time. He said, I don't really want to do this. But he said, my son's at college and he's got my credit card. If I hadn't been sitting up close to the front, I'd have got up and walked out. Like, you've got to be kidding me. You just said that. Wrong answer. But if we'll listen to God and where God and who God says to sow to, just like not every person is sitting on the side of the road is a homeless vet. Not every one of them is. And just so you know, pandering is not illegal in every state. There are people that do it, and they willingly, knowingly do it. But sometimes we live on our shirt sleeves. Those that are truly homeless, their face, their skin will look like boot leather. We were in Charlotte one year and got lost in Charlotte. And I don't really care for driving in cities, I don't know, but there I was. And we were sitting at a traffic light. And I looked over, and this woman, she was brown, trying to find somebody, something, I mean, brown. Her skin was brown, and looked like crocodile skin. It was just checked with weather. I don't remember. Did she even have a sign? She might have had a little sign. And I looked over, and you need to understand, we were there with only a few dollars ourselves. And I looked over, and God said, give her 20. So I took it out. You know, in the time that the light turned red, before it turned green, gave it to Angela, said, give it to her. That was the majority of our money for the weekend. God took care of us that weekend. Whether she was an angel or not, I don't know. But I pray that she took that $20 and put some food in her belly. But the point being, you've got to listen to God. There are what the Bible calls angels of light. Oh, I've got this. This is going on in my life. And you know what? First off, if you'd quit playing in dog poop, you won't be smelling like dog poop. So many people today, they just want to stay wallowing with the dog. Roll around in the yard. I'm sorry, I had an incident yesterday. Joshua was helping me work on the truck. And pulled the truck in the shop, we jacked it up, and I said, you go ahead and take the tires off for me, and I'll get the tools to take the brakes off. He grabs the first tire, he yanks it off, he's like, you have got to be kidding me. I was like, what? You drove through dog poop. And he grabbed it, he stuck his hand right in it. Apparently the dog did it in the driveway that day, so. But anyhow. You don't have to wallow in dog poop. Sometimes you get in it, you wash it off, and you stay away from it. But no, that's not what we want. We want to keep doing things the world's way, mammon's way. Seeking false riches. I want you to pay attention. Jesus said, who will trust him with true riches? In other words, God is calling for fiscal responsibility for his people. You can have nice things. You can have nice cars. I still think if I had $100 million, I would probably just drive a really nice pickup. It didn't have to be a Lamborghini. I don't live on a road that rates a Lamborghini. Maybe the Lamborghini tractor. I would live in the same house I live in. We can give all kinds of garbage to Ross Perot. You know, make fun of him all we want. The man drove a 1984 Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra. And while he may not have been the smartest or whatever, I don't care. What he did do was he was smart enough to sell his business to GM. He goes to the same barber that he always went to. Would it change some things if I were wealthy? Yeah. I would hope some things would change. For good. You can do things for good. But I'm not going to sit here and say, well, it's not God's will for me to be wealthy, or it's God's will that I be filthy rich. No. I'm just going to be happy where I'm at. And keep trucking. Keep trusting God. Because when I get to where I don't trust God anymore, I'm in trouble. So I'd rather keep trusting God than not have to rely upon Him. So wisdom also comes in play and says, know yourself. There will be things happening, folks. We're going to have to trust God more than we've ever trusted Him before. We have one of the most difficult decisions facing us in 2016. Who to vote for? For most of us, the Republican Party has become Republican in name only. They're rhinos. So then who do you vote for? I've always voted for the character of a man. But knowing that every last Democrat in office has voted for abortion bills and has not stood up for what is right, and neither will I vote for any Republican, John Kasich's out, in my opinion. You don't pull, by the way, this Common Core math is his garbage in this state. If you ain't figured it out, Justin had came home with a multiplication problem the other day. He had it figured out this big. Right there. But that's not what Common Core wanted. It wanted a three-layer thing going down through here where he had to multiply and then add a zero. I was like, he had it figured out just like that, the way I learned it. I don't understand what's going on. We're becoming so smart, we're stupid. Oh, yeah. He can have the right answer, but if he didn't do it their way, he got it wrong. We got to trust God. We got to be wiser than the world. But we can't keep sitting back saying, well, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. We got to be wise with what we can do about it. You know, we've got teachers in here. And I know anything happens, they know to pray. They can start praying in their classrooms. By the way, here's part of being wise and shrewd. You don't have to draw attention to yourself. Can I help you out with that? The wisest warrior is the one you didn't see. Not the one that, hold on. I got to lay hands on. I got to pray for this person. The wisest person is the one standing there keeping their mouth shut. And they're praying. Last weekend, we unfortunately got to spend it in the emergency room. And, which I know how you feel. But Jesse came out of a football game. And he was exhibiting the signs of a concussion again. And I'm on the sideline with him, and I knew Angela was praying, and I'm standing there praying. You got all these, everybody worrywarting, you know. I was like, you know what, God? You're in charge. You're in control. We began praying. I didn't draw attention to myself. I talked to those people, and I was praying. Jesse was madder than a hornet because the offensive line didn't stop anybody the entire game. And halfway through the third quarter, he'd probably taken 30 hits. So when he gets up the last time and he pulls half the field out of his helmet, he had had it. And we went, little ambulance ride to Knox County. Got in there, they were going to run him through the CT scan, do the CAT scan and everything. And he's like, "Dad, what's this like?" I said, "Well, it was no big deal to me, except when I did mine, they stuck me in the tube. His was just a donut." They did his little thing, came back. They said, "That's negative." That's what we thought. "Now we're going to do x-rays, just check." Came back, "Those are negative." But you need to understand, he was exhibiting all the signs of a concussion before. And then we were telling another friend of ours, Earl Linder, about it. And he said, we were praying. And I could hear Angela praying under her breath over there, holding with her hand on his shoulder. And we said, we prayed. We know God healed him. And he said, "I was praying too." Now, having said all that, God healed him. Nothing showed up. He gave all the right information, but he was in a lot of pain. His pain subsided. He calmed down. And God gave me and him peace to pull him, to let him heal. Like I told him, as much as I want to see him out there playing, I like him playing the guitar better. I like not changing his diaper. He was a messy one. But he's going to play next year. He's going to get better and heal up. It's not the most popular decision with the coaching staff, as you can understand. But I'm doing what's best for him. Because he's a freshman. They even tried to lure him in with a little, we were going to have you play varsity linebacker. Sorry. Because I need to tell you something, folks. I had the opportunity, two plays, to pull him before we ended up coming out for good. I had the opportunity. They evaluated him for concussion. He said the football was kind of doing weird things when it was coming to him. His vision was messed up. And I had it, and I didn't take it. And as I was standing there, I said, "God, why didn't you give me another chance? Heal him, and I'll pull him. I'll protect him." God did it. You know, and I know God's going to heal Chase. Chase took a pretty hard hit yesterday, too. But you know, you got to trust God. You can't live in fear. I've seen that kid bounce his head off of things before, hanging on gas pipes at 2.5 because he built a tower with boxes and climbed up and the tower fell. I was getting ready to say rode the tractor down the steps, but that was Justin, wasn't it? A little toy tractor, rode it down the basement steps. Yeah, we've had all kinds of things. But we continue to trust God in everything. And I want you to do that. Trust him in everything. And give God the glory. That's why I shared that with you. Not because, we feel sorry for you, Jesse. We feel, Pastor, No. I want to tell you, I believe he had a full-blown concussion. He exhibited the signs that said he was concussed. And by state law, he was done anyhow. But God healed him. And it was up to me to make sure I held up to my end of the bargain to protect him. Because when he goes back next year, he's going back bigger and faster. Those were his words. don't worry about the stupid things. Ask God, pray, and seek Him in everything. I know some of you in here got decisions that you're sitting on, you're looking at. You're like, in there, some of them are legality things. Ask God what to do, and He will guide you. And let me help you with that real quick. Go where the peace is. When you come to a decision and you have the peace, that's the decision you stick with. You stick with that decision. See, I messed up. I let him go back in. I started trying the world's way. Don't let him get in your head. We've never beaten Danville. Not many people have, really. They're a good team. Can't take nothing away from them. But I said, don't. You can beat. You can still be in this game. I tried it the world's way. I didn't have the peace that I had. In the back of my mind, the Holy Spirit saying, put the brakes on, put the brakes on. And I didn't. So, go where the peace is. Don't make a hasty decision. Just step back, ask God, and go forth where the peace is. And I'm not saying that your stomach's not going to crawl because you're having to make, I'm talking about the peace in your heart that this is right. Okay, because typically for you to do what's right in God's eye, your stomach's going to try to crawl through your nose because the world doesn't think that's the right way to do it. See, remember, God is the enemy of the natural mind. So, all right, let's stand. As the weeks wear on, I want you to continue to pray for this country. Pray for our leadership. And I mean right from right here at this level up. You can think that it doesn't matter what city councils think or what they say or what they believe. But I'm here to tell you right now, first off, if we had had things in place years ago, because people I don't think were thinking, we're stuck right here, we would not have an adult bookstore in this county. Had they been proactive, they could have got the laws on the books and stopped it. You want to know why I believe that there's a movie gallery couldn't hang in here? They sold porn. It was all up on top shelf. Then they started putting it down on the lower shelves where the kids could see it. You know what? You're not going to hang. It's bad enough kids can get access to it anyhow. We can take things back spiritually. There are things we have to do in the natural, but we got to do these things in the spirit first. Because the Bible says we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of the air. So whether or not I like him or not, President Obama is not my enemy. It's the spirit of Antichrist that is in him. And God's going to deliver Israel in such a glorious way that it's going to be hilarious. The church, the true church, I'm talking, because there's a lot of the church that doesn't believe that Israel needs to exist. Keep in mind, the Klan are all religious people. They hate Jews. But yet they cling to Jesus Christ. Conflicting message there. But when God delivers Israel, he's going to let these enemies pile up around Israel and get ready to cross those borders. And when they do, watch. Watch what happens. God always has the last word. He has the first and the last. Genesis says in. Revelation says amen. The first and last word. In amen. So be it. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, for your wonderful love, your mercy, your kindness, and for your wisdom. Lord, we receive now your wisdom. Father, as we press in, as James said, as we draw nearer to you, you draw nearer to us. And as we do that, we see you clearer. We know you better. We know you more. And we receive your wisdom in all things. And Father, I pray now that you help. Lord, I just feel that there's some in here who are dealing with real condemnation. Not conviction. They're dealing with condemnation that the devil is trying to bring upon them. Father, I bind that foul spirit in the name of Jesus, and I command it off of them, and I loose them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, they will walk stronger and more victorious than they ever have. Father, that your spirit, your joy, your peace is flooding their souls right now. Move in their lives, Father. Reveal to them the truth. And now, Father, I bless these people. I thank you for them, Lord. As they go about their weeks, Father, lead them, guide them in all truths. Father, show them traps that the enemy has set for them and deliver them from them. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.